welcome you to the set of Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz, the official luxury automobile of the New York Giants. Good evening, everyone. I'm Bob Papa. So glad you can join us. We're going to dissect the Giants' loss to the Detroit Lions tonight, 24-10. We'll hear from the head coach, Ben McAdoo, plus player reaction as the Giants drop to 0-2. By my side, a man who had a much better halftime than he had watching the game tonight, a member of that Super Bowl 42 championship team, David Deal. And David, this team just can't get out of its own way offensively, which leads to a lot of different issues for this ball club.
I mean, when you're looking at this game and you see that offensively in the first half, they have no control of the football game. I mean, you think about the drops, the penalties, and most importantly, the non-protection for Eli Manning. Something has to be taken over here. You see the adjustment with Justin Pugh, but somebody needs to step up and take control of this group, because if this continues, it's going to be a long season for Eli Manning.
And Roman Oben also joins us as well on the set, along with Antrell Roland. Roman, you take a look at this team, and when the few times that Eli Manning had time, it seemed like nobody was open in that first half either.
Yeah, I mean, looking at that first half and just the production, look, 20 snaps in the first half. They're only on the field about 10 minutes. Defense almost 2-1. So offense really never got a chance to get going. But just the overall product that you saw on the field today, guys. I remember being a rookie, 96, that 10-year anniversary of the 86 team.
Yep.
We lost that game. Fans leaving in the middle of the fourth quarter. You had that same kind of feeling. So I feel bad for Amani Toomer and Ahmad Bradshaw, all those guys that came to watch this product on the field, because 0-2 is not where people expected this team to be at this point.
Antrell, you won Super Bowl 46. Now, we talk so much about the offense, and rightfully so, but if you take a look at this Giants defense through the first 2 weeks, they're not getting the stops. The two touchdown passes that Matthew Stafford threw both came on third downs. They hit a couple of third and longs early in this football game, and they're not stopping the run the way we saw them do it last year. What's the problem?
You're looking at a defense that doesn't seem to be in sync at this point in time. You're looking at a defense that they try hard, but they're not flying around. They're not fluid as they once were. I'm seeing a lot of lack of just being very, very, very tactical. Keeping outside containment, breaking down in a tackle. I feel like guys are trying to do too much. You're not getting off the field on third down, which is a huge negative. And more importantly, you have to play the ball when it's in the air. You have to be a ball hawk. You can't just play the defender and arm touch all the way down the field. At some point in time, you must become a receiver and try to attack the ball at the highest point.
Yeah, on the Marvin Jones touchdown catch, I mean, Eli Apple had good coverage. It almost looked like he was looking up at the board to see where the play was, and then Jones just undercut him. That ball has to be knocked away, doesn't it?
That ball needs to be intercepted because he was in perfect position. He was running stride for stride with him for about 7 or 8 steps. At that point in time, you lean, you locate, you attack the ball at the highest point. At that time, he should have become the receiver.
Yeah, so it's those kind of mistakes, fundamental flaws that the team is making, technique mistakes that are really hurting the New York Football Giants. One of the defensive leaders of this team had a chance to catch up with Paul Dottino right after the game on the field. One of the captains, Jonathan Casillas.
Jonathan, another difficult one. This one, your home opener. I know after the game in Dallas, this can't feel very good right now.
Nah, it's tough. You know, whenever you lose a game, you know, especially a home opener game at home, you know, not a good showing for us collectively. So, you know, we got to get back to the drawing board and make some corrections.
Where do you think this one started to slip a little bit?
You know, I mean, it happened on defense. You know, defense gave up a little more than we wanted to. Offense, of course, didn't score that much, and special teams, we gave up a touchdown. So, you know, you could talk every different part of the game. You know, we kind of let them take advantage. So, you know, like I said, we got to get back to the drawing board and make some corrections.
And I know that's got to be disappointing because it was all three phases, unlike last week where, you know, not every phase wound up stumbling.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we wanted to play complimentary football.
Right.
Not uncomplimentary football. I don't even know if that's a word, but that's what we did. We didn't do anything like we were supposed to do today.
Jonathan Casillas, thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
And you hear Jonathan Casillas talking about the problems. Antrell, I'm going to start with you. Obviously, every team in the NFL has to deal with injuries. And the Giants obviously didn't have their starting middle linebacker, B.J. Goodson. The Lions look to attack Calvin Munson, who's a rookie. And they really missed Janoris Jenkins, not only in pass defense, but he's ferocious against the run. And that was a soft corner the Giants were giving up.
It was. I think DRC, there were point in times in the game where I think he did an exceptional job of making tackles, but then there was times where his tackle was very, very poor. Not breaking down. There was a couple times he could have had a tackle for loss, and, you know, he failed to capture that moment. As far as Munson, them attacking him in the middle, I felt like they were tracking him, but they wouldn't do too much. I felt like if those guys just understood the down and distance, they understood the situation a lot better, it would have helped them out throughout the course of this game.
More on the Giants' defense. Dalvin Tomlinson also spoke with Paul Dottino after the game.
So, Dalvin, how more elusive was Stafford in person than he was on film? He seemed to do some damage with his feet, especially in the first half.
Yeah, he's an elusive quarterback. He always been an elusive quarterback, and we just have to do a better job containing the next elusive quarterback we face.
A couple of crazy plays, ball bounces this way and that way, and all of a sudden they seem to have the momentum. How much did that hurt your guys this time?
When we get the momentum on defense, we have to make sure we keep it throughout the whole game, and we just kept losing it throughout the game. We just had to be more consistent with it.
You know, one thing Spags said last week in Dallas is that he wanted to get a takeaway. You guys were able to get one today, but still not able to control the time of possession in the first half. I thought that was a big hurt for you.
Even though we get one, we got to be able to get another one. We have to continue to get more takeaways on defense.
Dalvin Tomlinson, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, and the one turnover the Giants forced on the very next play, Eli Manning threw it late behind Evan Engram, and the Lions picked it off and went back. So we are just getting started on the program. A lot to digest with the Giants dropping their home opener 24-10 to the Detroit Lions. We're going to hear from Giants head coach Ben McAdoo. The Giants fans, enter for your chance to win a DJI Spark mini drone at Adorama Giants at adorama.com/Giants. Adorama, the official electronics retailer of the New York Giants. We are just getting started here at MetLife Stadium. Lots to talk about. We'll hear from Giants head coach Ben McAdoo when we return to Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz. Welcome back to MetLife Stadium, Giants Post Game Live here on the MSG Networks, presented by Mercedes-Benz, the official luxury automobile of the New York Giants. So the Giants lose their home opener, fall to 0-2, 24-10. The final score here at MetLife Stadium, losing to the Detroit Lions. After the game, Giants head coach Ben McAdoo addressing the media.
All right, I'll tell you the same thing I told the players. Put this game on me. We talk about playing complete complementary football. By no stretch of the imagination did we get that done tonight. We got to do better. Dug ourselves in a hole. No one feels sorry for us. We got to find a way to get better and get better in a hurry. Let's open it up. Because we're not playing complete complementary football. We got a turnover in the first half, then we come back and turn the ball right back over, get a stop, get a chance to get the ball back. We give up a punt return for a touchdown. Just too many issues. We got to play it. We got to play and feed off of each other, and we're not doing it right now. And I got to find a way to make that work. Yeah, we tried to give them some help as the game went on. Initially, we were focusing on the other side. We had our left guard was playing right tackle there. He ended up holding up, doing a nice job. And then we had to decide to get the ball quick. When they're playing cover two and you give help to both sides, you have three guys running routes and you have seven men in coverage. That makes it a challenge. Well, it doesn't help. I mean, that's what we talk about, playing complementary team football. The offense has to handle their business, take care of the ball well, whether it's, you know, holding on to it, whether it's catching it, whether it's throwing it, can't turn it over. And special teams has to do their job. He had a couple different options there. He chose to go with Shane. I saw the nickel fall off on the flat route on Shane and make a nice play. We talked about giving them more help. It's more than one player. Sloppy quarterback play. Quarterback and the center need to be on the same page there. We got to get the ball snapped. Because we have a veteran quarterback who's played a lot of football. I expect us to get the ball snapped. Usually the clock goes from 3-2-1-0. Once it hits zero, they look at the ball, look at the clock. Usually have a tick once it hits zero to get the ball snapped without it being a delay game. I thought we had a chance to get it off. Had some good moments and some moments that were that weren't what we were looking for. You know, I didn't like the interception when we got the turnover. The defense took the ball away. You know, it happened fast for him. I thought he should have went to number two or checked the ball down. He was under the duress all night. I thought he did some good things in the pocket, making some plays under duress. But, you know, the whole offense needs work. We're not in rhythm right now. Yeah, we just wanted to pick our spots, get them back in the mix, get them back in the fold. Wanted to be smart with him. His first game back. He hasn't played football in a while. Say that again. We took care of the ball. We were blocking them pretty well, completing the ball, and just moving the chains, staying ahead of the chains. It's a great question. Odell was fit enough to play in a limited role. He was fit. We deemed him fit enough to play in a limited role. Yeah, you know, it's a long season. We expect Brandon to make that play, and expect him to make it next time he gets the opportunity. We go back to work. We have to analyze everything we're doing. I mean, we can't pull points out of a hat. We have to get to work. We have to block better. We have to handle the ball better. We can't turn the ball over. We have to play complete complementary football, and we're not doing it. We'll consider everything. We'll consider everything. Yep. When the quarterback's under duress, things change. The nickel fell off, took a chance, made a nice play on the play. Eli had a couple different options. He felt that was his best option.
All right, so the Giants head coach Ben McAdoo talking about the frustration and you know, this team just can't get out of its own way offensively right now. Never do they look like they're in any kind of rhythm. And that goes to their inability to run the football to start, doesn't it?
It most certainly does, because if you look at the five sacks, it's no coincidence that they had them. 4 for 12 on third down, five sacks. Why? 3rd and 13, 28, 23, 10, 10, 10, 8, 9, 9. When you're playing up against a group that has elite pass rushers that can get after you with only 3 or 4, the ability to run the football is when you can wear them down and take that edge off of them. When you're inconsistent, you're trying to play against the chains like they were today, this is where you have the breakdowns in protection, and this is where you see the inaccuracies of Eli throwing the football. Why? Because he's scared of getting hit, and he doesn't think he has the time anymore.
Yeah, Dave, look, you got 2 offensive linemen up here. You're told the tackles keep the pocket wide, the guards and centers keep the depth. There's one sack that I saw, I think Orleans Dockwar trying to get through the B-gap, and Flowers tripped and fell. Well, that's one. But 5 sacks... no blitz. 5 sacks, 4 down rushes. That is unacceptable for an offensive line in the National Football League. And I know they're saying O-line is behind the D-line early in the season. Seattle's having their problems around the league. We're complaining about their offensive lines. But this is a problem that needs to be fixed. You guys said it. They'll face better teams down the line than
this
Detroit line.
They got a lot better defense to give it. Now, one of the sacks was a coverage sack because Eli had plenty of time to throw and he got sacked. Antrell, why is it that this team can't get guys open quicker?
You have to find a way to beat one-on-ones. That's what it was about. You know, I saw Odell running deep a couple of times, and there was no way that they were going to let him catch that ball tonight. They were double, triple coveraging him down the line. That's when Shep, B. Marsh, Ingram, you must beat the one-on-one coverage. It's a must. Otherwise, you're going to find Eli like he was tonight under duress and running for dear life. Each and every chance you get a third and long situation.
Yeah, and in the fourth quarter, there was one play where they ran Odell on a slant. He was literally triple teamed. The linebacker fanned out, the safety over, and the corner had him over the top, which means somebody else has to get open as far as this offense being able to get going. What does Eli Manning think about it? We're going to hear from Eli coming up in just a bit. Guests of the postgame show receive a gift certificate to Ben & Jack's, located on 5th Avenue and 28th Street, Manhattan. From the celebrated Porterhouse to the finest seafood, Ben & Jack's will surpass your expectations of what a steakhouse should be. What does the quarterback have to say? We'll hear from Eli Manning next. At the 18-yard line. One back set is Darqua. Manning on a play fake. Looks right. Throws over the middle. Touchdown, Giants. Evan Engram, the rookie out of Ole Miss. Eli Manning with his first touchdown pass of the season. It's the Giants' first touchdown of the season. Unfortunately for the Giants, their only touchdown of the night. That touchdown to Evan Engram tied the game at 7 apiece, but the Lions go on to beat the Giants 24-10. We welcome you back to Giants postgame live here on the MSG Networks, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the official luxury automobile of the New York Giants. Eli Manning, making his 201st consecutive regular season start, came into the game 4-1 lifetime against the Lions, suffers his second loss to Detroit, and after the game, Eli addressed the media.
Yeah, 4th and 3, and had a play, try to get to Shane on a little flout route, and Nickel was out there, tried to put it on him, hoping that he had the depth. Guy made a good play. They had a good call, for the play, and thought it'd be enough for the first. And obviously, guy made a good tackle, and we weren't able to get it. Well, we got to score more. Not going in the right direction enough, going backwards, not converting on third downs enough, and got down there, close and on the 1 yard line and get a penalty and then get a delay gain at the end. And not executing well enough on third downs in the green zone, some critical moments. Yeah, I got to call timeout or get snapped. Anytime there's a delay gain, it's on the quarterback, and can't afford it right there. Yeah, just had a good play call, had some play action. I think they may have screwed up the coverage anyway, but they sucked up on the play action and able to get him down the middle. Had another play action later on, hit Brandon. I thought he might score, and that got down to the one, and then from there, went backwards with the penalty that hurt us, but. There were some good things. We moved the ball, better. I thought we played better than we did last week. Just obviously the turnover hurt us. And then just not converting on third downs enough. Yeah, can't afford it. So this ball is a little behind Evan. So we just got to look at it, and I got to put it in front of him and give him a chance to run or move on to my next progression. I probably had more plays this week. Last week didn't have the ball much. I thought we had, did some decent things in the past game. Had some opportunities. Get some guys down the field a little bit through a few shots down the field we didn't connect on. So we got to start hitting some of our shots. Anytime fourth down right there, it's going to be, they got to make a decision on what's going on, but we had plenty of time. I saw the clock. I knew we were rushing. I got to, take a timeout right there or get the ball snapped and let's go. We just got to figure out what's our best personnel, what's our best style, how we're going to be able to, move the ball, staying good down in distance, how we're going to, convert on third down, and just be able to, what's going to be our best style of being able to get the ball down the field at times and just keep working and get better. It's not about changing a whole lot. It's just about improving on the things we're doing.
All right, so that's Eli Manning talking about the myriad of mistakes. And, you have a good drive going. You're in the third quarter. It's still a game. You have first and goal at the one, and Brett Jones gets called for a hold. This team can't overcome those mistakes, which then led to the fourth and goal at the two. I thought Ben McAdoo would kick the field goal at that point, considering it was 17-7. Take the 3 points, get some points on the board. They went for it. Eli gets called for the delay of game. But it all starts again with the hold. You can't have a negative play on first and goal at the one, and we're going to get a look at it right here.
No, that's something that you know coming into this football game, especially when you get in the red zone. All you have to do is, we say, score with your defender's feet. There's no need to hold them. As long as you can get that push and that surge and you keep your hands in the framework, you're going to get that push up front. And to go back to that delay of game, we talked about the Shane Vereen being short on the fourth down. And then the one before the delay of game, it's third and nine. Evan Engram runs a 7-yard route on the third and nine. There's timing and there's precision, and that's why you go through third down on Thursdays and they hammer it into you so that you don't run your route short.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I noticed on that, you talk about the goal line, holding call. You're at home. There's no crowd noise. You're not late off the ball. And as an offensive player, that's a situation you want to be in so that can strike your feet. Another one, 20 yards lost in a series of sacks. 20 yards back was a third and 28 at one point. You just saw consistently time and time again where they just couldn't get it going. And you talk about the cohesion. You talk about that lack of just getting a rhythm. I mean, you would love to see 2-3 series in a row, a field goal, a touchdown. Then they'd have something, that third series, but you just didn't see that.
I think that's exactly what it is. I think you're seeing a lack of confidence as a unit in its entirety. You're seeing guys not trusting the guy beside them, and you're seeing guys that's trying to overcome and do too much at particular point in times in the game. Once they come in all in sync, once everyone has accountability, and once everyone DYJ, do your own job. Once you take care of that, then you're going to find a suitable offense, and then they will sustain drives and put points on the board.
Yeah, and the other problem that they're having right now is when you're struggling like they're struggling, you got to make some plays above the X's and O's. They throw the corner fade to Brandon Marshall for some reason.
You're 6'5". Go up and get it.
Right. Highest point. He had his hands down.
You got to get that.
Now you're giving me a chance to get the ball.
Yeah.
You got to go attack it at the highest point. 6'5", it should be a no-brainer.
And Evan Engram knows he's going to get hit. The safety's coming over. So if you're going to get hit, you might as well hold on to it, right? No peek.
Absolutely.
So
no alligator arms.
It's little things like that. Antro Roll, Roman Oben, David Deal. We got a lot to talk about. Odell Beckham Jr. made his debut tonight. We're going to hear from Odell Beckham Jr. when we return to Giants postgame live. And thanks to Wendy's for bringing the Giant Jr. Bacon Cheeseburger to us today. Visit your local Wendy's to pick yours up today. OBJ coming up next here on Giants Post Game Live. Well, Michael Strahan, the Hall of Famer, head coach Tom Coughlin, and the New York Football Giants tonight celebrated the 10-year anniversary of Super Bowl 42. What a stirring halftime rendition we had tonight. Michael finished it with the Stomp You Out. Great memories, great energy in MetLife Stadium in the pregame. One of the great upsets of all time. As we welcome you back to Giants postgame live here on the MSG Networks, presented by Mercedes-Benz, the official luxury automobile of the New York Giants. And David, you were centerpiece as part of that. I know Antrell's licking his chop for the 2011 celebration. You had your 10-year anniversary with the Bucks, but what was it like being out there with your teammates again?
I mean, to be in the tunnel, to hear of all of us laughing, going out there on the football field, telling stories. Number one, you can't believe it's already been 10 years. But two, there's a reason why we had success. It was like we never left each other. The accountability, the belief in one another, and the fact that you could look each other in the eye and know that everybody on the outside doesn't think that we can do this, but I'm going to fight for you, and I know you're doing the same for me.
Yeah, and that team started 0-2, just like this team. But let's not try to make the correlations, because this team right now is showing a lot more fundamental flaws than that 0-7 team did. We knew they could put points up on the board. And remember, it was Spags' first year as the Giants' defensive coordinator. So there's a whole different vibe than in 2007. So what about this offense? How do you get it going? Paul Dottino in the coach's club with Giants wide receiver Sterling Shepard.
Thanks so much, guys. Sterling, the troubles offensively today, were they similar in any way to what happened in Dallas, or were they just different things that really set you back?
I'd say different things, but if you look at the defense, they kind of play the same things that Dallas played. A lot of deep zone. They didn't want us to take any big shots, so we kind of had some of the same problems, but it was a little bit different as well.
Now, when you try to approach how to fix it, is it more film work? Is it more recognition when you guys are out there? Is it simply just executing better? What kinds of things have to be done to get this back on track?
I think it's a combination of all those things that you said, especially recognition. I mean, we got to recognize what's going on the field, and, I mean, we got to execute. So all those things that you said are pretty accurate.
Now, the one thing I think we all thought is that with all the weapons that you guys have on offense, it would probably be easier to make big plays. But because of the way they're playing with the zones and because the running game isn't working so well, it's becoming so much more difficult. Are you seeing different coverages that are making it that much more of a problem?
No, I mean, the thing is we're seeing some of the same coverages.
Same stuff.
I mean, yeah, it's all drop zone, just not allowing any deep balls. And, you know, we got to give Eli some time as well.
One more question, a positive one. Odell Beckham Jr. able to play today. Obviously tried to give it a go in Dallas, couldn't. Tried today, said, yeah, let's try it. Was able to get out there in limited action. I mean, I know the game didn't turn out well, but how much of a boost is it for you guys in that receiving room to have Odell back and have him on the field?
Yeah, I mean, he's a huge part of this offense. So having him out there is definitely great for us as an offense. And, you know, hopefully we get him out there full go next time.
Sterling Shepard, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
All right, guys, let's go back to you.
All right, thanks, Paul. And you hear Sterling Shepard and the frustration, and he said the coverages are the same. This is something we got to talk about, guys.
Without
because
a doubt.
It's now 8 consecutive games that the Giants have scored less than 20 points in a game, which is the longest streak in the NFL by far. The next closest team is 2. It's the Giants' longest streak since 2003. It looked like the Cowboys were moving to where the passes were going to go. And as Sterling Shepard said, coverages aren't any different. So what's the problem and how do you fix it?
Well, one of the problems is what he just admitted, letting history repeat itself. If you haven't learned from what happened last week in Dallas and you're getting the same coverages and the same type of zone coverage and it's soft, you've got to be able to adapt and adjust into a football game. So that's just common knowledge that's what you're going to have to do. And what does it equate to? 9 sacks in the first 2 weeks. They had 21 total in 2016.
Yeah, the discussion about all the weapons that this team had, you know, going into the season, Ingram, Marshall, Shep on the intermediate routes, running game. The running game gets that safety in the box. It makes third downs manageable. Then you get some one-on-ones on the outside. I mean, that's a formula that's worked throughout the history of football, and that's something that's the big variable is the running game. And if you're not getting anything on the ground, you're not going to any of those things. None of the other things are going to work.
Antro, one of the things that you were great at was film study and really looking at tendencies. That's what made you a great player. Is this offense right now easy to dissect? Because Sterling Shepard is almost letting us to believe that, hey, the teams are running the same stuff and they're beating us. And these aren't even the best defenses they're going to see this season.
Well, I think that's a key point. They're going to face defenses that are a lot more ferocious than the two that they faced already this season. What you have to understand is that this is a copycat league. So if it worked for the next team, it's going to work for the next team. And, you know, then you have to question the play calling. Is the play calling sufficient? Are these guys confident in the play calling? That's what you have to ask, because right now I'm sensing some discomfort. I'm sensing guys, you know, not really confident in their approach, not really confident in what their assignment is. And are they looking to get open or are they hoping to get open? Or do they know they're going to get open? I think that's very key.
And then you see the end result when things are going badly. When guys do get open, then they're not catching the ball. They're not making that play above the X's and O's, and it leads to one touchdown through the first 8 quarters of the season. The Giants were hoping to get a boost tonight from Odell Beckham Jr. Missed last week's game against the Dallas Cowboys. Was back in the fold tonight, but it didn't lead to victory. As we continue, we'll hear from Odell Beckham Jr. here on the MSG Networks as you're watching Giants Post Game Live presented by Mercedes-Benz, the official luxury automobile of the New York Football Giants. Welcome back to Giants Post Game Live here on the MSG Networks, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the official luxury automobile of the New York Giants. I'm Bob Papa. A frustrating home opener for the New York Football Giants as they kicked off their 93rd home season in the National Football League. The Giants fall to 0-2. There was a lot of energy before the game with the 2017 back and Odell Beckham Jr. going through his pregame warmups. Everybody was wondering, was he going to play tonight? Well, when the deactivations came out and he was active for the game, a lot of energy. Giants fans expecting big things. Good to see him out there, but it didn't lead to a victory. After the game, both Odell Beckham Jr. and Brandon Marshall spoke with the media.
You know, you just get out here, you have that feeling, I just wanted to come out, see what I could do. You know, we limited it, and it felt good to be able to play again. It's been a long time, so, you know, just kind of getting your feet wet.
How physically did you feel out there?
I felt all right. You know, I don't really know a percentage. Still just that last little bit of the game, but it'll come from, you know, another long week of rehab and all of those things. Just stay positive, try and get healthy.
Were you significantly less than 100%? Were you significantly, like, did you feel like yourself out there? Or did you feel limited?
I felt like a little bit of myself. It's just still not there. It's just, but came out, do what we can.
How long do you think it'll take till you're there?
I don't know. When are you ever really 100%?
It looked like you had a drop on the sideline there, and then a minute, like a second later, was the punt return there. How big of a swing was that, do you think?
Oh, that was the moment. That was the biggest play of the game. You know, I let my team down. I got an opportunity to make a big play and change the momentum, and I lost it.
You know, what was it? Did you take your eye off, or was it, you know?
No, it was a perfect pass. I beat the guy really bad at the line of scrimmage. Knew the ball was coming, saw the ball the last second, lost it in the light, and, you know, then I picked it back up and just dropped it. Just dropped it, let the team down. That can't happen. You know, when you get an opportunity in a big game like this, in that situation where you're down and you got an opportunity to go down and score and tie up the game, that can't happen.
Brandon Marshall obviously frustrated, and that was a big play because that came with 14:02 to go in the fourth quarter, and the Giants at this point were trailing by 7, 17-10. And, you know, you hit that big play down the field, and, you know, you get the stadium into it, and fans are getting into it, and, you know, who knows what happens there. And you take a look at the struggles for Brandon Marshall, and so far through his first two games with the New York Giants, last week one reception for 10 yards, targeted 4 times. Tonight, targeted 5 times, a little bit more involved, but only the one catch for 17 yards. And, you know, this is a guy that's played a lot of games in the National Football League. And, Antrell, I'll start with you here. In the course of his career, even he admitted it during training camp, there are times where he'll drop the ball and he says, I got to get better, I got to keep working at it. But when your margin of error is so slim, as this team's is right now, those things become even more magnified.
Absolutely. You know, this guy, he's not playing a fraction of himself right now. He's not in sync with himself right now. Brandon Marshall, you're used to seeing this guy having 100, 130-yard games, and right now he's barely averaging over 10 yards a game. He has to get in sync. He has to get in the rhythm. A lot of us players are like that. Once he gets in the rhythm, once he gets in sync, then you will see the Brandon Marshall of old. You will see him come to life, and I think it will be more suitable, and it will help the offense tremendously down the road.
Yeah, guys, I mean, we all get to a point in our career where you're a veteran, you're a leader, you're in the locker room for a reason, and you serve a role. And Brandon Marshall was brought to this team to serve a role. And he's had a long career, what, 161 straight games with at least one catch. And somewhere down the line, he'll continue to be needed. And that 6'5", those jump balls, what you haven't had since Plaxico, I mean, I think that will happen. It's just that fans appreciate his high character and high accountability for what happened today, but you just don't want to see that repeat itself, because then you'll start to say, well, there's that guy that would drop balls a lot in the other team. But, again, you got to fix it now because, again, as an offensive player, they say bad stuff keeps showing up on tape.
Yep.
Passing off the twist, pocket collapsing, the drops, how they play in the coverages, all those things will continue to show up defensively, how other teams scheme against you if you don't fix it.
And one of the things that you're seeing with Brandon learning this new system is the timing of the routes, the timing of the precision of when he needs to get in and out of the breaks. So I know everybody's sitting here saying, well, he should have more receptions. Has he really shown us enough that we know that he's on schedule with everything and the route combinations and how fast Eli wants to get this football out of his hands?
I get all that football X's and O's stuff.
Yeah.
But when you got a 30-yard ball down the sideline in your hand, or there's one lob to you in the end zone and you don't go up for it, you kind of basket catch it, which enabled a smaller guy to suddenly get to his level.
No question.
He could be playing for the Jaguars, the Texans, anybody.
That's just football IQ right there. And I understand Odell coming into this game, coming off of the injury. I played 11 seasons, and the only time I was 100% was the day before training camp. You're never walking out onto the football field feeling 100%.
Nope.
So the fact that he only had 2 targets in the first half, even if you just hit him on a couple quick slants, at least you're going to scare the defense and make them adjust to it.
All right, we're going to hear from Giants tight end Evan Engram here on the postgame show. He got his first career touchdown, the Giants' only touchdown of the season. We'll hear from the rookie tight end when we return to MetLife Stadium. You're watching Giants Postgame Live, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz here on the MSG Networks. Welcome back to Giants Postgame Live here on the MSG Networks. The Lions defeat the Giants by a score of 24-10. The Giants get their first touchdown of the season. It's the rookie, first-round draft pick Evan Engram, who hauled in the Eli Manning pass. He spoke about that and the rest of the game after the game.
Yeah, that was on me. That was frustrating. We were in a good position to go down and gain some momentum. Just bad play. Defense fights really hard for us to get in good position. We got to capitalize better. That play was on me. It was just unfortunate.
It was behind you, right? When you not been in the right spot, you should have been in?
Yeah, I could have ran a better route. No matter what, if the ball touched my hands, I got to come down with it.
And down, the one down to your left sideline near the end of the game, you almost?
That was a good hit. He got me pretty good, so I got no excuses, though. I got to make that catch.
But you sensed him, certainly, right?
Oh, no, I thought I was wide open, honestly. Yeah. But they went quarter, so it was he had his deep quarter, and the ball was in there. He came down on me pretty good. So,
what did the ref say to you after the penalty?
They didn't tell me anything. I had no idea. I thought the play was coming back when I saw the flag because I didn't know what was going on. I guess he saw what he saw, but that wasn't good. It was unacceptable.
So, you know, the officials all went to each and every team in the NFL, and the league has laxed as far as celebration. But anything that's considered lewd will be assessed a penalty, and they felt that Evan Engram did that. And that's a rookie mistake. You can't do that. The Giants then wound up giving up field position. The kick goes out of bounds. The Lions start at the Giants 45, but the Giants de-bailed him out. But the rookie has to learn from that mistake. And some opportunities lost, and the one thing about Evan Engram that's really cool is the fact that he holds himself accountable and doesn't pass the blame. We're going to talk about what's next for this football team, staring at 0-2. They've got to deal with the Philadelphia Eagles and the Tampa Bay Bucks over the next 2 weeks as we continue with Giants Postgame Live here on the MSG Networks. We are back on Giants Postgame Live. So what's up next for the Big Blue? It doesn't get any easier. They go on the road to take on the Eagles, the Bucks, home against the Chargers. Then they got to go play Denver on the road at Mile High, which has always been a house of horrors for the Giants. And then the Seahawks come in on October the 22nd for a 4:25 start. Folks, you take a look at that schedule over the next five games. And as we welcome you back to Giants Postgame Live, and we'll go around the horn here, and naturally I'll start with you. The Eagles are beaten up in the secondary. They got a lot of guys hurt, but they got a front seven that can wear you out. Tampa's got a good defense. San Diego's got pass rushers.
Right.
They can't make a kick. And then we know what Denver has. We saw what they did to the Cowboys.
Yes.
And then Seattle's defense is no joke. They can't protect Russell Wilson. How does this team fix this in a week?
Well, you can't fix your opponents, but you can fix yourself. Like you say, they have to go back to the drawing board. They have to go back to the basics. They have to go back to the fundamentals. You have to learn how to play together as a team. DYJ, do your job. Play within the scheme. Don't try to do too much. Just take care of your own responsibilities. Be accountable. Make sure the guy next to you is accountable and play ball. I don't see guys flying around. I don't see the same tenacious offense, the same tenacious defense as we saw last season. It doesn't look the same to me.
Yeah, we got to help. Offensive players have to help defense. How many times, Dave, that walk of shame to the sidelines, you keep punting, you're not getting done. You're looking at the defense, you want to walk on the other side of the bench.
Kidding.
And, again, look, 6'2 yards on the ground, 3.4 yards rushing, 5 sacks. Find a runner. Even if it's running back by committee, find a situation that works and go to it. On the road next week against Philly, you don't like to say must win, but it's a can't lose situation next week.
Yeah, you can't go 0-3.
Can't, because we went through those years, yeah, a couple years ago.
This is the first time in the 93-year history of the Giants that they've lost the first two games of the season by 14 or more points.
Yeah.
Now, David, the offensive line.
Yeah.
You heard Ben McAdoo say they're open to anything. Do you expect them to make some big-time changes here with this group? We don't know what Bobby Hart's status is because he tried to give it a go. He's got the ankle injury, but there's no one out on the street that's going to walk in the door and save the day.
You have the hand that you're dealt right now. It's not going to change, but they need to go to the drawing board quick because what is Jim Schwartz and this Philadelphia Eagles team? Toughness, tenacity, and they swarmed to the football. Yes, they may have lost to Kansas City. They sacked Alex Smith four times, held Kareem Hunt to only 81 rushing yards. But what they do up front on the defensive line, it's like hockey shifts. Four guys in, four guys out. Timmy Jernigan, Fletcher Cox, Vinny Curry, yep, Brandon Graham, Chris Long. I mean, these guys are being able to play free because Jim Schwartz is putting them in advantage by the way that he's setting them up, making sure that they're playing the way, run on the way to the quarterback, and they are playing as a football team over there.
And you got to find a way to handle that crowd noise as an offensive,
yep,
line. An offensive line that struggled. We've seen a holding call in the end zone, in the goal line. That,
yeah,
shouldn't happen at home because you're going to hear the snap. Now you're going to have to deal with those things next week. So you've got to fix a lot of things fundamentally. We want to see good positive plays, scoring early, having some momentum on the road. Those are things you have to do next week.
Antrel, the defense has struggled. They've given up a bunch of third downs and stuff. But they're not giving up a ton of points. I mean, they gave up 17 points tonight. Are you overly concerned about the defense? Or based on what they did over the course of a year last year and the fact that they're not giving up points, that you think that this thing can fix more so than the offensive problems they're having?
I'm not overly concerned about the defense. Right now they seem to be a bend but don't break defense. More important is just attack the ball when it's in the air. You have to find a way to play the ball a lot better in the secondary. As far as the defense, I still feel like they're out on the field a little bit too much. Offense has to give them some help, and they will, but it's all going to come with the comfort of Eli Manning. Get him comfortable. Allow him to follow his throws, make his rhythm throws, be in sync with his wide receivers. Right now, he's just not finding that.
Yeah, he feels the pressure, and they have to take the short route.
No question. And what does it start with? The running game. That's the best way to take pressure off of Eli Manning and take time of possession to keep the defense fresh, because we know that's the strength of this football team.
Yeah, Eli Manning, 201 consecutive starts, and man, he took a lot of shots tonight as he was sacked five times in the game, and the Giants now fall to 0-2 on the season, and they're going to have to regroup in a hurry. And for Ben McAdoo, this is really the first crisis that he's had to deal with as the head coach of the Giants, with his team having lost the first two games of the season with a lot of expectations. We're out of time. For David Deal, Roman Oben, Antrel Roll, Paul Dottino, and our entire crew, thanks for having us here tonight as we digest the Giants' loss to the Lions. You've been watching Giants Postgame Live here on the MSG Networks. Good night, everybody.